Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
And I've been listening to 610 since back in the 80s. This is the best combination for afternoon drive time sports radio I've ever heard. Show, Clint, you guys got it going on, man. I really appreciate your show.
Best hair at the station, this entire show right here. React to that.
Clint, you can put your toes up in the river, my man, and pop that Coors Light.
I love beer.
Hey, gentlemen. A show and Clinton show. I love your show. You guys are great.
We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
Somebody out there listening right
Ooh,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. Is that Mike Hot, Tyler?
I'm going to kick your ass, Tyler. I'll tell you.
Whoa, what?
You talking all that, man.
What's up? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubelade.
The Drive is live and in color, baby.
And in the house.
Oh, man. Championship weekend.
Boy, those were two. We were out all night.
Yeah, you're right. Let's try that again.
That was bad. Some sting.
That was rough. Hold up. Let's try that again. The Drive is live, baby, and in color,
and it's in the house.
Yeah, man, just we ain't got it.
Y'all got a cold?
Something, boy.
Yeah, a little nasal, boy.
Damn tequila.
That
tequila late.
Get you every time.
That tequila in the ninth.
Got bit.
Thought we was just taking victory formation at the 2-minute warning, but no.
The guy is drunk.
Something hit us late. Oh, right there. No, man.
Y'all are young, man. Hell, enjoy it, boys.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Friday, and we're going to have a good time. But great news. And listen, I'm going to tell you what right now. I've already seen this on the text line, on the trailer, reel and frame text line, and I'm not going to let this – I'm not going to let your joy be taken, as somebody once said here. I'm not going to let your joy be taken. Because I'm seeing it on the text line, and people are just trying to throw darts into everything. Let's just take for what we're taking.
What?
Let's get what we're
getting. Yeah, take for what we're taking, Clint.
And get for what we're getting.
And
yes.
Get for what you're getting.
I'm with you.
Ian Rappaport made a report about D'Amico
Ryan. I didn't know where the hell this
there
is going.
There it is.
No, don't just take it.
Take what you're taking, man.
Sometimes you have to. But no, Ian Rappaport had a report about D'Amico Ryans emerging as the top candidate for the Houston Texans. This is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, with the latest on the Texans coaching search with D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans has emerged as maybe the hottest coaching candidate, and we are getting some clarity on his situation. Sources tell me and my colleague Tom Pelissero right over there that D'Amico Ryans has emerged as top candidate for the Houston Texans. His former team, obviously, was a star linebacker there. So many people thought when he was a player, man, this guy's a head coach, and he is close to being exactly that. From what we understand, Ryan is set to meet with the Texans at some point after this game. If all goes well, and, you know, you would think that it would, but if all goes well, he could be their next head coach. And, of course, for Houston, it has been a little bit of an odyssey the last couple years as they're rebuilding on the fly, a couple different coaches. This is one of the, as I mentioned, hottest young coaches, bright young coaches, just 38 years old, extremely close to being an NFL head coach.
All right. There is mutual interest as well from D'Amico's side. There is Ian Rappaport reports that the Texans have – it's out now, right? He's emerged as their top guy, and there's interest from his side, Clint. And like I said, I'm not gonna take it. I see it on the text line already. Uh-oh. D'Amico is just – D'Amico is using the Texans as leverage to max out his deal with the Broncos. Like, for real, today, those folks, you kick rocks with open-toed sandals on. Like, we're trying to pull good vibes here, not just let you twist words. No, he is their top guy, and he appears to have interest in coming here too. So you can stay home with that. All right, positive vibes here. D'Amico, it looks
like... Yeah, we're taking what we want to take.
Yeah, you're taking it now. And you're getting where you want to get. I want to hear it from you all out here. Oh, he's using it as leverage. He's not coming here. Somebody has gone to some silliness of his wife boarded a flight to Denver. He's not coming to Houston. Go somewhere and sit down.
Why don't you take one of them late tequila shots that me and Tyler, Biggie as well, took last night? But, Clint, this is – it sounds like this is their guy, and I think the great part is if this is their guy, it sounds like their guy has interest in them too.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's never before this report. I mean, I think everybody knew that D'Amico Ryans was at least interested in Houston, and Houston was clearly interested in him. Outside of Sean Payton, I would think that if you put a poll out there right now of people that are in the know, I would imagine that they would say, well, hell yeah, D'Amico Ryans is 1A or 1B in both organizations. So I think yesterday's report that the Broncos had zeroed in on him was probably accurate, and then today the Texans have zeroed in on him is accurate. I think they're all zeroed in on him. And hell, in response to your tweet, I mean to your text line over there, I mean if he's not using both teams versus each other to up the ante and make more money, his agent's not doing his job. I mean you're only D'Amico Ryans. I mean if we really look at the percentages, D'Amico Ryans is probably hotter right now than he will ever be in his career. Now, he may go on and be a Super Bowl winning quarterback and be the next Coach. Doug Peterson, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, these guys that are one place forever or hit the free agent market and go make a boatload of money. He may do that, but the odds are that he's not. I mean, he may, but odds are against him because just very, very few guys reach that level of success and sustain it. So right now, D'Amico Ryans is as hot as he's ever been. His earning power right now is stronger than it's ever been. You damn right. They better be leveraging each one of these organizations against each other that are interested in real possibilities. And so, yeah, I don't. In terms of just the report, I don't know what has changed. I mean, here's what I know: is D'Amico Ryans has been knee deep, 18 hours a day, 20 hours a day in figuring out how to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know on a Thursday evening before a Sunday game, arguably probably the most important night of preparation before a Sunday game, when you're talking about, okay, we're going to dwindle the game plan down from things that we thought we might like, but they didn't look good in practice. What is the quarterback like? What is the defense? And we're going to really hone this thing down so we can have a perfect Friday walkthrough, practice, mental day, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if D'Amico Ryans had a whole hell of a lot of time to do anything to swing a report from one place to another. You know what I mean? I don't know that all that. I don't know what could possibly have happened. But nonetheless, I am not surprised one bit that D'Amico Ryans is the head coach candidate that Denver and Houston potentially have zeroed in on.
Well, I think where today makes a big deal is, especially from the Texans side, understanding that they came out. Like, listen. Ian got this, and I would think if Ian and sure. Tom Pelissero said this, they're hearing this from somebody very, very, very in the know with the Texans, if not the top, that he is our top guy. So we went from being at the Houston Sports Awards, where Landry caught up with the McNairs on the red or purple carpet, whichever color it is, I think purple carpet, and then they said, hey, we're taking our time. You know, we want to make sure we get the right guy. We're not putting any rush to – now it's Friday, in the middle of Friday, they are putting out to one of the biggest newsmakers in the NFL, hey, we want the world to know that D'Amico Ryans is our top target. That's our top guy. That is the number one candidate for us. And to hear also within the same message that D'Amico also has interest there. When I hear that, Clint, and I hear that they're going to meet with him again next week at some point, win or lose, to me, that means if he's your number one guy, he has interest in you. We all know the history with him. This feels like if you want your guy, as I said, take what you're going to take, get what you're going to get. Like, you gotta make him the head coach. Yeah, I make that work again. You got to make him.
I don't know if it's worked yet, but you're trying.
Two for two. You got to make him your guy. You got to make him the head coach. It's got to be a situation where he doesn't leave. You got to make sure you got to have Larry throwing a party somewhere in Stafford. The rest of them throwing parties out there. He cannot leave the building. Can't let him go to Denver. Can't let him. Can't let him even talk to Denver. If he's your guy and you've put that out there for the world to see, and he's saying he has interest, this needs to be the next time you meet with him, your dude, to me. Like, if that's your top candidate, go get it. Go make it happen.
That to me seems like is the next move when they meet next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I tell you the other part of that audio that I found very interesting, fellas. The first time I heard it, I didn't really pay much mind to it, but when Tyler played it right there, it stuck out like a sore thumb. I go back to the dead horse that I was beating a couple of weeks ago, which there's a lot of them back there, right? But the process being competent show, you hear how Ian Rappaport, you hear how he described this, what the Texans are doing?
First went back and described it from last year or the last couple of years and to now, like, this is one of the bright young coaches they've got.
Well, he said the Texans, it's been a little bit of an odyssey and they're rebuilding on the fly. That's awfully positive relative to what was being said last year. And could you imagine if this was another CF of a head coach search? I just go back to like the importance of the importance of just navigating a process in a professional, competent manner. You know, a lot of people, oh, what does it matter? We're in our own little bubble over there and we're going to do it our way. No, it matters, man. It matters. I mean, simple things like this, like Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and Tom Pelissero and all the different, I'm just talking about the reporters that are paid to get it right, ultimately. Then you go to the analysts that analyze every move you make in head coach searches and the game. Like, what those people say matters. And they have a choice. And when you do something the right way, when you do something professionally and competently, then they typically put a pretty positive spin on what it is you're doing and your organization. It stuck out to me like, it's interesting that the way in which folks are the pros, if you will, are I guess couching and packaging their messages and statements about the Texans nowadays.
Well, Clint, isn't it crazy when you do things that make sense,
right?
And you have a process that makes sense, and you interview candidates that everybody's interviewing and that everyone's talking about could be viable head coaches, and then you end up with maybe the hottest candidate there is. Outside of Sean Payton, probably the hottest candidate there is as somebody that you may hire. Okay, that's crazy because, see, if DeMeco gets hired, Clint, this won't be a situation. If he gets hired and fails, I'm not saying he is, but if he gets hired and fails, this isn't a situation like the last 2 years where, like, Arthur McNair's
told
and
you
Nick
so, yeah.
are idiots. Yeah. Like, what are they doing? No, I mean, he just failed. Like, no, like right now it's like, this all makes sense.
Yep.
You went through the process. You interviewed people that make sense, that could be candidates, that could be real coaches, and you ended up with the hottest candidate. And if it didn't work, it's not, hey, you just got this one wrong. The past 2 years, Clint, we've sat there and said, okay, David Culley, all right, well, you better be right.
When that name popped, I had to Google my ass off.
But it's just like, all right, if he's hired, all right, it better work. Then you're trying to go through the weeds, try to figure out the ways in which the maze it would work, and then the same thing with Lovey. Like, okay, I mean, this is odd. But now, if this one doesn't work, it's just like, hey, you guys did everything you were supposed to do. You went through the process the right way. It just didn't work. On to the next. It's not a loss of trust in the organization or a loss of trust. That's if they don't handcuff him and they allowed him to do his job.
Well, here's the thing is just by rule in the NFL, we'll know more on Monday. They can interview, I believe it's Monday, right? Isn't it Monday when they can interview these candidates for a second time?
Yeah, that's correct.
Starting Monday for, I think it's a week. There's a little window there for about 4 or 5 days where the Texans can interview win, lose, or draw. Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon and DeMeco Ryans. We'll see, Show, to your point, is it DeMeco Ryans and Jonathan Gannon and Steichen never get to Houston because they don't want to let DeMeco leave, or do they stay with the thorough process and interview everybody? Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes Monday through the rest of next week. But that's enough about this, Coach and I. Let's get to this real juicy topic, boys. Let's get to this real juicy one.
What's the juicy
one? You boys got in them streets last night, didn't you?
Had a good time.
You boys got in them streets last night.
Definitely had a good time.
Well.
Enjoyed ourselves.
Well, I mean, you put a lot of work into it. You were definitely ready to go. You had a dentist visit. Here's my recollection: dentist visit, haircut, new glasses, new shoes, a big headshot selfie on all the social media outlets.
I'm a selfie.
The announcement: hey, we're getting out tonight on radio. I mean, you put it out there. How'd it go, boys?
Had a good time. All right.
Absolutely tremendous.
You know, and this almost did not happen for Tyler. He had a great week that stepped in. By the way, you better have best of today.
Good point.
Was it Friday?
As I've told you, I will walk in there and kick you square in the nuts.
Okay.
If you don't have
He's got two more nights that he's going to choose. He's going to decide whether he's going to hang out
with you. We had a good time, man. Some of the fellas came out. Vicky came out and hung out with us. Oh. Our Texas insider, Brooks Cabina, yeah. He was out there.
Brooks was out there.
Brooks, man.
How's Brooks in the street? He loose?
Hey, just cool.
Does he get loose with it?
Cool cat.
Cool cat.
Absolutely.
I bet he looks like a guy. He seems like a guy who's sitting in the corner of the booth with both arms on the back of the booth.
Absolutely.
Yes, he was.
Absolutely, he was, you nailed
man.
It.
He was a few times. Or at least the elbows. Oh,
yeah. Literally, yeah, when he first got there, he sat down. That's exactly what he did.
Beer of choice, yeah. Lone Star. He slid in.
Lone Star.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an impressive car.
Good, solid plan. Texas beer.
Brandon Scott, he came out as well with all the hair. So it was it was a good time.
How many heaters did B. Skeezy smoke on last night?
A few.
I don't know, man. He did his thing. You know Brandon. You know, the disappearing
B. Scott. Don't even look around like, where'd B. Scott go? He's out. Look for that. I could just look for that little orange glowing dot out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You missed a good time, though, Dirty. It was really fun.
You did.
Yeah, man. You know, boys.
Yeah, I just like to be honest with anyone who goes out. Who is your friend? I want you to just text in the name. Who is your Tyler? Who is your friend that just when we go out just always got to buy shots?
Guilty as charged.
Who is your friend?
I want everybody to have a good time.
And don't say anything. You just sitting there and they just show up.
One sits down right in front of
you. They show up at the table. Like, I mean, you come over and somebody, like we sitting there just talking. Me and Brooks in there just talking. Figgy just talking. Next thing you know, waitress come over. She's about 10.
Tequila.
And he over orders.
Too many. Well, I mean, you can't. I mean,
he's over ordering.
I mean, you're a rookie if you under order, right? If you show up and one person, you got to go, hey, wait, everybody, we'll get another one. Yeah, so Tyler.
Better to have one extra than one too late.
Trailer Will and Friend text line. You could just text in their first name. Who is their Tyler?
Text in their first name and the city they're from, please. Please. I want to know.
Oh, that is a good experience.
We
got
to at least drill this thing
down
a little bit.
That is a good experience.
I just like everybody to have a good time, man. I want to take care of the boys.
First text in mine is a guy named Sterling. Another one text in. I got
might be my brother.
It might be. Mine is Steve.
We ain't got no towns yet?
They got no town. Maybe they got in there quick. So, yeah, text in the guy's name and the town or the gal.
Do you get any compliments on your cut or your shades or your gear shoes or anything?
I forced one on a couple of ladies sitting next to us.
You didn't even give them time to notice the glasses, did you?
I said, do you think these frames are too big?
What'd they say?
They said. Now, the first girl, she wasn't really interested.
She was confused. She didn't really hear what you said at first, so she kind of looked at you like a deer in the headlights.
But the other one, with the other one, she said, "Oh, it fits well."
Oh,
some
yeah,
people
looks
said on the outside it doesn't fit right, but it fits really well. So,
did you ask anybody out there if 9 years was too long to go without going to the dentist?
I didn't go with the teeth today. I kept that one.
You just did that. We just did that. The NFL Network now, huh?
Yeah, I got that. All right, Brad from Cyprus. So there's a Brad in Cyprus that's the shot buyer. All right, coming up.
Old B-Rad.
Coming up. Listen, I'm really, really bothered about something that has happened in the sports world that I try not to get upset, but this is really ticking me off. I can't take it anymore. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Come on, man. Come on, man. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Let that sink in your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Burrowhead. I like it, man.
Burrowhead.
That is quick thinking, man. When I first heard it, I'll be honest with you, I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, Burrow does seem to be pretty unstoppable.
I thought, what the hell is he talking about? And then, of course, it has caught serious fire now.
Burrowhead.
It has caught serious fire. This kind of stuff don't typically get to you there, Show. It seems like this may have you a little hot under the collar.
That's really bothering me. I can't lie to you.
Well, why is that?
I will admit right now I'm shook.
It's not even shook. I just pissed. I think annoyed is more where it is.
Burrowhead.
And listen, you two know me and the Drive family who's listened. Like, this doesn't really, like, I understand it. Like, the Bengals, they have owned the Chiefs. Like, and when you, like, hey, when the rabbit got the gun, he get to have the fun. And they get to talk that trash. I mean, you go in the last three, I mean, you beat them in a calendar year three times, you know, twice at your place there in the AFC Championship game.
Burrowhead.
All right, your quarter. your quarterback has beaten your great quarterback. Like, you get to talk it. Like, and I'm
Burrowhead.
And I'm good with the, you know, hey, we're the big dogs in the AFC. Right? Say that, right? Hey, you're right. Hey, you done it. You beat us three times in a year. You're the defending AFC champs. I got it, right?
Like, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking.
You got, I mean, somebody in Cincy's got to be putting this on a shirt.
I get like all of the trash talking. They've done it. We the big dogs, AFC. Like, hey, we don't fear nobody. Like, we're the team to beat. I get it.
Burrowhead.
You ain't got to rename the stadium. now that's where I draw the damn line. That is, for me personally, that's like childhood, man. I've had some of the greatest moments and some of the worst moments.
You think
in
about
my
that.
Life
you
there.
grew up just waiting for the moment that you got the first time to go live, didn't you?
Oh.
Live at Burrowhead.
No, it's Arrowhead.
I mean, slip of the tongue.
It is Arrowhead.
Burrowhead.
Okay. It is Arrowhead Stadium. Like, I now that's where I draw the line. Mike Hilton kissed my ass, to be honest with you. That is. Now you say it's just a caught on. See, I'm starting to get. Now it's caught on. Now I'm watching these shows, Clint, and they're feeding it to.
Oh, no question.
I saw a graphic on First Take that said Chiefs, Bengals, AFC Championship game at Burrowhead. Really? Really?
Burrowhead.
Are you serious? You put the graphic up there? You gonna put Burrowhead like it's a thing?
It seems like it is a thing.
Oh, that is running me hot.
Oh, it is definitely a thing.
And I'll keep it 100% funky. I think the part that really just burns me up is, one, it's really good. It's really, really, it's really well thought. Really, really
Burrowhead.
I do not believe for one second that Mike Hilton came up with that on the fly in the moment. That is something that he has kicked around and that has landed. Burrowhead. So it's really good. I will admit that. But now you ain't got to rename. So, you won one game there. One game. All right. Let's chill out. That's not working. That doesn't work.
This isn't working?
That Burrowhead thing, that pisses me.
Clint, just so you know, while you were out last week, we discovered Show has a love for this Burger King jingle, and whenever it comes on, it puts a smile on his face.
Okay.
So when he gets all bent out of shape, I try to play it for him to bring him out of it, but I guess it's not working here.
No, it's not. Like, some people just texted, Show, stop being soft. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I know how important to many of you, Clint has expressed it to me. Tyler doesn't seem to care as much about it, but I know how important the Astrodome is to many of you here who can remember the moments of your life. As Clint has told me so many times, he was an Astro buddy.
I told Jose Cruz Wednesday night I was an Astro buddy back in the day, early 80s.
Yeah, man.
Took a picture with him.
Somebody come in there and rename the Astrodome after they done won one time and they're gonna call it something else.
Burrowhead.
Like, nah, man. You can talk all the other trash you want to. My man, hey, Joe, you can come out here and go on the field talking about I am him. That's fine.
Hold on, Joe.
I'm not renaming this damn thing Burrow.
If they win,
no,
you going to go ahead and buy in?
No. I buy into them being the big dogs of the AFC. I buy into that.
If they beat the Chiefs four straight, twice at Burrowhead, we can't call it that?
No, not after the Chiefs beat them down multiple times for years in Cincinnati, not renaming it.
Yeah, well. I mean, that's different. The armpit of the NFL, you go beat them around for a week or a decade or 20 years, hey, who cares?
So you getting all riled up? Yeah, I am. Not normally, it doesn't get me. This has got me.
How has it affected Pat at all?
I think they're all kind of measuring this. I don't, has Pat said anything about it? Has he?
Well, he was asked about it, I believe it was yesterday.
I'm sure he took the high road. I'm sure. I wish he wouldn't. I'm sure he took the high road. What did Pat say? Let me hear what Pat had to say about it.
Yeah, I think different guys use it different ways. I just try to go out there and prepare myself to play my best football. I mean, if you're not fired up to play a team that's beat you three times in a row in the AFC Championship game, then you're not going to be fired up for any game. So I'm excited to play up against a great football team and try to do my best effort to go out there and get a win.
Excited to be playing a Burrowhead.
I can't get beyond it.
He's lying.
Like, I can't even listen to what he's saying.
Burrowhead.
It seems like it's getting more Kermit.
You want to know?
It's getting more and more. Like, sometimes
I'm just really ready for this game this
that
weekend.
That was really – he's been hanging out with Kermit or something. You know when you hang around somebody, you kind of lean into their accent or whatever. That's tough.
When we recovered him, and it was early on in his career, and you started to see how good he could be, we used to have those conversations of like, can you really be the face of the league sounding like that?
Ooh.
Hey, old Kermit the Frog here.
That is very close.
Can you really be the face of the league?
I'm not catching up and playing football.
I'm gonna tell you. It's funny. All joking aside, show. Yeah, he can.
Because
we've never seen that style of play win at that level, right? I mean, if he was just like if he were Joe Burrow, like a big part of Joe Burrow's appeal. Now he's a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But a big part of his appeal is like the cool, suave, like the swag. Like a big part of it is that, like, if Pat had that, like that swag and that kind of suave, he'd be in a league of his own.
I think Pat has that swag until he opens his mouth.
I'm a big Ketchup fan. I've always been.
These two, when they come into the stadium, they're going to be dressed like, I mean, this is going to be a competition.
When they come into Burrowhead.
Good point.
Burrowhead.
All right. When they walk into Burrowhead on Sunday,
shut up.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Okay. Burrowhead.
All right. I'm out. All right. Look, there's a lot of people love to do this, the prop bets, and I'm telling you, man, I'm looking at some of this, and I feel really good about some. Hell, I might put some money on it. I might put
Prop bets will get, even if you're not a gambler, you got to hear some of these prop bets. I mean, they'll turn you on a bit.
I might put about $5 or $6 on a couple of these. I'm into.
You can get to 11, can't you?
Not after last night. All right, we'll let you know some of the best prop bets as we get you ready for the. For Championship Sunday, that's coming up next on The Drive.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's what I'd like to see, baby. During the break, just caught out. Oh, Chris Jones, all-pro defensive tackle for the Chiefs, ended his press conference with, going to watch a little film, see what else I can pick up. I'll see y'all Sunday at Burrowhead Stadium.
Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead.
Staring them down. Staring them down with anger, baby.
Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead.
Oh, that's great. Even the Kansas City Chiefs players are buying in.
Wait till the end of that game. If they win that game.
If who wins it?
If the Chiefs win that game, wait till the end of that game. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we heard them calling it Burrowhead, and now we showed them what's up.
Listen, I know.
That was good, too. That was really good.
We had to take care of business with the Bengals.
It's not bad.
This isn't Burrowhead. This is Arrowhead.
It's not bad.
He doesn't have much of a growl in
his. He's not the great talker, but they got a few of them over there. I'm telling you what, Frank Clark is waiting for a win to just unload. Just waiting for a win. They got a few of them over there just waiting for this thing. I don't know if they can do it, but they over there waiting. All right, prop bets, man. This betting stuff, I'm telling you, last week's exactly why I'm just gun shy on betting anything, and that's why I'm really usually in the $5 to $7 range. Like that Jags Chiefs game, 7.5 point spread. I would pick the over. I was thinking, man, I'm thinking about doing it. I'd have picked it. Then Mahomes gets hurt first half. Chad Henne comes in like, oh God, and then the next thing you know. He comes back in. They're up 10 late. And you're in the money if you got the over. And next thing you know, the Jags drive down there and kick a meaningless field goal. And now if you had the over on
those backdoor covers, man.
Oh, no, man. No, see, no, that's no. why
you mean
I can't
if you had the favorite.
If you had the
over-under's not a point.
Or you had the favorite. If you were going
had the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Had the Chiefs minus seven, you were in the money, and then all of a sudden
they end up winning by seven.
Jacksonville goes down there and kicks old field goal.
Field goal for no reason.
But if you had Jacksonville,
yeah, you're pulling the other way.
Absolutely.
But I wouldn't have bet Jacksonville. I thought to myself, I think the Chiefs would win by 7.5 at home.
Oh,
I can see it.
I told y'all.
I can't do it, dog.
Hey, I told you one of the worst. You talk about bad beats. I love bad beats on SVP. Right? Isn't that who does that? Scott Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. I had a bad beat one time. I had $500 on a game, and I was winning the game, and Denver. It was Denver-Baltimore, and I think it was Denver-Baltimore. It was Jake Plummer was the quarterback. Is that long? Wasn't he in Denver or was he in Arizona late? Which one was he in? Late Denver, early
Arizona.
So it was Denver-Baltimore. Denver's got the ball. Denver's got the ball going in. They're in the red zone, maybe even inside the 10-yard line. And the game's over. I mean, I'm winning, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Denver could score and I still win. He throws a pick. I believe it was Ed Reed in the back of the end zone.
Is that the one where he takes it all the way back?
All the way. If Ed Reed would have just went down or went out of bounds, I win.
Or someone tackled him.
Anything. He goes the distance. I lose $550 because of the juice that was on it, right? And here's the bad part of it. Burger King went out there and made a damn commercial about it. Remember, they put the burger.
So you had to keep watching.
I had to watch it. I had to watch my $500 disappear over and over and over again. And they put the Burger King guy's head on Ed Reed's head. It was awful. Bad beat.
That's why I can't do it, man. That right there. No, because that don't even make sense. Because we have to know a little bit more. We watch these games. And it went just the way you would think it would.
And then I thought out of nowhere. I thought I was in it. I was counting my money, baby.
That's crazy, man. I can't do it. All right. Let's start with the NFC Championship game. That kicks off first. First prop bet. This one, let me see if this one you're going to do something with. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy, over under 222.5 passing yards. I'm taking the under on that. Easy. I mean, easy on that.
Well, I'll give you a little background here. You're talking about the number one pass defense in the league.
Absolutely.
In terms of that's who Philly is. That's who Brock Purdy's up against. And the Philadelphia Eagles are allowing just a smidge under 180 yards passing per game. I mean, they're number one. Number one, just above New Orleans and the New York Jets. Who, by the way, don't have a quarterback. But nonetheless, that's the defense that they're up against. I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to take the under as well. And here's why. Is because when you look at what San Francisco wants to do, San Francisco wants to run the football, and they want to set up about two or three opportunities for Brock Purdy to make a big throw. And if you click over to the rush defense, Philly falls to middle of the pack. As good as there is against the pass, they can rush the passer. They can collapse the pocket. I don't see Brock Purdy by 50 yards or 40-plus yards surpassing what their yearly average or per-game average was on the season, especially when the Philadelphia Eagles allow – They're a middle of the pack run defense. I think the 49ers are going to be run heavy. I'm going under 222.5 and a hook passing yards for Brock Purdy.
The Eagles lead pretty easily the league in sacks and pressures and quarterback hits to go along with that. And they got two really good corners as well. Brock Purdy, his last few games, 214 yards passing, 332, 178, 284, 235. Or his last several games. My concern and my nerves is him throwing 2 or 3 yard passes to guys like Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
Or Christian McCaffrey. And they taking it, you know, along. Like in that game against Seattle, like he didn't like make a ton of big throws down the field, but Deebo took one for about 70 and rack up yards real quick on that. But that just looks easy to me.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Getting a little bit more into the game is like I think that's what they do, right? Is they're going to stretch the field sideline to sideline with Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and I think it's going to be well under 225. The key is like I said, they do all that the entire game. And if they can run it and screen you to death, they'll do that on their way to victory, right? They'll just do that the whole way. But really what the whole their whole scheme is, we're going to do this and we're going to pound you with these guys this way underneath. We're going to take very little risk with our quarterback, and we're going to lull you to sleep, or we're going to force you to add extra bodies at or near the line of scrimmage. And then we're going to get you one-on-one and bang you over the top of one of these athletes. Hit a seam, hit a crease. And that's exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do in the big moments. And they wanted to run his ass up out of town. Can Brock Purdy do it? If Brock Purdy hits two or three of those, he's going to blow 225-222 out of the water. But I don't think he will.
Yeah. Other one, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts.
What's he doing? What are you doing on 222 and a half?
I actually placed a bet just this morning on the over for that.
Oh,
you
wow.
Want the over?
Yeah.
Wow, ballsy.
I believe in big, you know what, Brock.
Okay. Meet Hassan Reddick. They got four guys with 11-plus sacks on that defense. Anyway, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, over-under on rush yards, 47.5. Oh, boy. I don't think the Niners are going to let him run like that. And their linebackers are really, really good. As Cynthia Freeland yesterday was talking about Fred Warner, Greenlaw is really, really good too. I think they'll probably have spies to stop that in their game. But I think Philly's going to throw the ball pretty well. So I'll go the under on that.
San Francisco's given up 77.7 yards per game rushing. They're the number two rush defense in the game right now. So, I'm just looking at the comp. I mean, can Jalen Hurts go for – he's got to go for 48 yards to win for the over bet to win when they're only giving up 77? Boy, at first I want to say no, but I think Jalen Hurts in this run game is going to eat against San Francisco. I really do.
Yeah, I
think they're going to eat. So I'm going over in this one.
I don't know how much he will. What about you, Tyler? 47.5 rush yards.
I'm going under for the Channel View kid. Under, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jalen Hurts is number one target. A.J. Brown, over-under on receptions, 4.5, Clint, and over-under on yards, 70.5 for this game.
My bet of the day. This is my bet of the day right here. Tyler, I want you to put me 100 on this one, and he may have it by halftime. A.J. Brown, over 4.5 receptions. And I'm dead serious. Don't forget.
Woo! Love that money.
I appreciate you forgetting that last one, though. Because I would have lost.
Saved you some money on that one.
Sorry, ass Jayhawks. they got hammered against them Wildcats in purple and silver Wildcats.
They lost by one. They lost by one point.
That Kansas State Wildcat coach was up on that damn table dancing and screaming and everything.
I wanted to push Jerome off.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get us. But my bet of the weekend, serious, all BS side, AJ Brown over 4.5 receptions.
Oh, that's easy. He was mad about how much he was getting the ball. On Sunday's game, I think they're going to make it a point. He was pouting. They're going to make it a point to get the ball to him early. 4.5 catches. Oh, hell yeah. I think he's going to have 3 receptions on the first drive. At least 3 or 4 targets at the very least. So I'm with that. Tyler, A.J. Brown, I think you should place that. If you're placing bets on
Brock. With as confident as Dirty Red is over there, he's got me convinced. I'm going to ride with it.
I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's money in the bank. What are the odds on it? I bet the odds are ridiculous.
Yeah, I bet they're high. All right, the second game, AFC Championship game. All right, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes with the bad ankle. Andy Reid said he will start today. In Arrowhead Stadium coming up, Mahomes over under 285.5 passing yards.
This is an easy one for me, Show. This is real easy for old Dirty, the over.
Are you?
You want to die a slow death? Bet an under 285 on Pat Mahomes passing. I'm taking the over in that one all day long.
I don't know. It's going to be 20 degrees in that game at the start of the game and dropping. And I think the Chiefs are really going to run the football. Try to run the football. That's where the Bengals' defense is. But Pat could have one of them days.
Shootout all over it, man.
This close as this game might be.
I don't
think.
I don't think this is going to be high scoring.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think you should bet the over on my passing yards.
Yeah, I think this is, to me, this has a feel of the Chiefs Bills game earlier this year when it was 24-21. The first game they played was 24-27. Like, I don't think this is going to be high scoring. I think they're going to run the ball to protect Pat. So I'd bet the under. Tyler, you going over?
Yeah, I'm going over, sure.
Okay. All right, Travis Kelce, his over-under reception, 7.5. He had 14 catches last week. He had 10 in the first half. I'm going to go over on this. I mean, Pat hunts him. And it doesn't matter what kind of coverage he's in. You going over? Under.
Absolutely. I don't like this one quite as much as the AJ Brown bet.
Oh, no.
But boy, I do like it a lot, Show. So yes, I'm going over on this one as well.
Ty, 7.5 catches. Kelce, over under.
Oof, this one is the one that I was staring at hard, man. I think it's going to be right at that number, that hook. I'm going over.
All right, Joe Burrow. In Arrowhead Stadium, Joe Burrow over under 1.5 touchdown passes in this game. I think he'll get
that's
two.
My lock.
Yeah,
over.
I think he'll get two.
Yeah, I'm going over in that one as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean he's playing a Burrowhead. What do you expect? He's gonna have at least two touchdown passes.
Burrowhead.
All right, Bengals wide receiver, the last one, Ja'Marr Chase, over under 83.5 receiving yards. I'm gonna take the under on this. I think T. Higgins might be the one who has a big day, but I think Ja'Marr Chase. I'll take the under.
Over.
Of course, you think
over.
This is gonna be a shootout?
Absolutely, no question about it. After I watched them last week, the way they moved Ja'Marr Chase all the way around, they're not like taking him out of the ball game. Is a lot of these kind of receivers, these 1-on-1 coverage dictating type receivers. Boy, if you don't move him around, I can see you're not going to take him out of the game. Anything you do, but I could see you slowing him down a bit. I don't see Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow letting Kansas City get a beat on where Ja'Marr Chase is going to be. I like Ja'Marr Chase in the over 83.5 yards.
Yeah, I'm with Clint, man. Joey Burrow's favorite target playing at Burrowhead. I'm on the over.
Burrowhead.
It's Arrowhead Stadium is where the game is going to be played, and we got to take it. We got to come back and look at these. And see how many of these.
I wrote them all down. I wrote everything down.
How many of these we're going to be right on?
I love prop bets, man. I mean, I could get in a real bind if I had access. Tyler, give me 100 on that. Which one did I say? Oh, AJ Brown.
Brown.
Over.
I'll lock it in.
Over 4.5.
$7. I'm thinking about giving.
It's
that
4.5 receptions. That can't be right. AJ Brown 4.5 catches.
I feel really good about that. Too.
He's going to have that by halftime.
I think you're right, man. I'm going to lock it in.
Man, I think he might have it by the quarter.
I just need to have it by the fourth quarter.
I know that, but I think they're going to make a concerted effort to get him the ball. Just like easy ones, just screens that are coming right out to him, as long as he doesn't drop them. All right, coming up, we'll get you all the top stories and the number one story. There is movement and news on D'Amico Ryans. You do not want to miss this. One of the biggest newsmakers in the NFL. We'll let you know exactly how things have shifted for D'Amico Ryans and the Texans. That's next.